And first of all, Rinpoche is asking us to give rise to the bodhicitta, wishing or thinking that in order to achieve the enlightenment or the Buddhahood, for the sake of all the sentient beings, as limitless as the space, and we practice the true Dharma by studying it or by listening to it and reflecting and meditating upon it. In order to achieve enlightenment or the Buddhahood, and it's very important to know first the view, yes. And also in order to know the view, first in the Mahayana view, you have two types of Mahayana. There are two progressive states of the view, yes, in Mahayana, so which are known as the Chittamatin view, which is literally the mind only, the philosophical view of the mind only. The mind only and the Madhyamika. So then in the Madhyamika also you have two types of Madhyamika. Madhyamika Rangdong, as we were saying yesterday, the self-empty, the empty of self-nature. And the Madhyamika of Shantong, which means the self, the empty of others. So as far as the Madhyamika of Rangdong, the self-nature, concept, Rinpoche has already given a brief explanation yesterday. And today he would like to give a brief explanation on the Shantong Madhyamika philosophy, or Shantong, yes, the empty of other. Concerning the Shantong view, or the view of the empty of the other, is the view that's taught by the Buddha during his the third turning of the wheel of the Dharma. Yes. The reason why this view is called Shantong, or the empty of other, because in this the very true nature of our mind is said to be, yes, the empty of others. Other here refers to the other things, refers to all the defilements, the impurities, the stains, whatever you call it. So this true nature of the mind is empty of the other things, that is the impurities. So that means the trueness of the mind is pure from the very beginning. So then, on the other hand, the very true nature of the mind, which is also known by other names such as the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature, is not devoid of its own spontaneous qualities of the Buddha. That means it's already endowed with it from the very beginning. It's already endowed with it, all the qualities. Yes. And Rinpoche said that if one wonders what really the Tathagata Garbha in Sanskrit or the true the Buddha nature in here, what does it mean? And he said that Tathagata Garbha or Buddha nature is actually the very true nature of our own mind, which is a clarity and emptiness as inseparable, or which is a spacious quality and awareness as inseparable. That is the nature of the mind, which is called the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature. As Buddha has said that this Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature permeates or pervades in all the beings without any exception, which means that all the sentient beings without exception indicates that in the sense that not the beings in the lower realms but beings in the higher realms, not like that, but it embraces all the beings. That means all the sentient beings without exception are endowed with it, Buddha nature. That means they have a potentiality, a potential quality of Buddha. So the way all the beings are endowed with it, or possessed, endowed with it, yes, Tathagata Garbha or Buddha nature, is illustrated with the several examples, several analogies. For example, the way the milk contains, you know, potentially the butter, or the milk is pervaded by butter, and the way a mineral stone is contained, yes, contains the precious metal such as like gold, and the way the sesame, okay, sesame seed, seed of sesame, yes, contain oil potentially, yeah. So in the same way all the beings are endowed with the Tathagata Garbha.
Tena oma la ma drop to pata se don de ten mar mar ko drop to pata se do jyoto se de se drop to pata thi jindo tene sinti nam de tene sanje de komba do na drop to pata.
So the way is if we beat up this the seed of sesame seed, yes. Seed, is it sesame, yes?
Sesame.
Sesame. Sesame, yes. We can obtain oil from it. If we refine the mineral stones by various processes, yes, we can obtain the gold from it. And if we, churn the milk or, you know, we can obtain butter from it. In the same way, all the sentient beings, if they try their best, and if they try their best, then through the practice of the Dharma, they can achieve the enlightenment or Buddhahood. So then if all beings are primordially endowed with the Buddha nature or the Tathagata Garbha, so then what is the difference between the beings and the Buddhas? So difference is only that the Buddhas are free from their nature of the mind, it becomes completely free from the defilement or the obscuration. Whereas the beings, although their nature of the mind is the Tathagata Garbha, is Buddha, however, this Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature is not being freed from the obscuration or from the impurities. So that is the only difference.
On that Sanjay Baka, Sumini Sanjay Baka, the condition of Sanjay Siji, the condition of the Jerusalem, Sanjay Siji, then there were Ningi Chambota. Then it's Dami Toku Shiran Kars in the same Sanjay Siji.
So when we achieve enlightenment, we would say that what happened actually? What happened, yes. And he says that when our practice of love and compassion for all the sentient beings become perfect, yes. And our knowledge knowledge and realization of the selflessness of the beings and the phenomena develops completely, so at that time then one is called the Buddha or the enlightened one. So concerning these, the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature, it also has three stages, you could say, three phases or three stages. So the Tathagata Garbha as a path, Buddha nature as a path, and the Buddha nature as a, the Buddha nature as a base, as a basis, yes. And the Buddha nature as a path, and the Buddha nature as a fruit. So thus the Buddha nature is also presented in three levels, you could say. So the nature of the mind of all sentient beings without exception, and which is clarity and emptiness as inseparable, is called the basic Buddha nature, or the Buddha nature as a base. So when we achieve the direct realization of this true nature of the mind, the Tathagata Garbha, by removing, yes, by eliminating all the impurities, all the stains in gross level, yet the subtle, the impurities in subtle level are still remain to be removed or to be eliminated. At that stage is called the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature as a path or on the path. So when we attain the direct realization of the true nature of the mind, the Tathagata Garbha, by removing or by eliminating, by freeing it from even the most subtle the impurity is the most subtle level, so then at that stage then such mind which is completely free from all the stains, even most subtle level, then it's called the enlightenment or the Buddhahood.
Then
The beings according to in three different stages or three different levels, and the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature is also presented in three levels. So, which means that when the beings, or generally all the beings are endowed with the Tathagata Garbha or the Buddha nature, yet, however, this nature of the mind, which is called Tathagata Garbha, not free from the stains, not free from the impurities yet, they are still covered by the impurities. At that level, we are called, or the beings are called in general, the being, yes. The sentient beings are called the being. And then, when it is, when the all the obscurities, or the stains, or the impurities in gross level, which obscures the Tathagata Garbha, is removed, and then one is called the Bodhisattva. So when the Tathagata Garbha is realized directly, without any obscuration, even most subtle obscuration, free from even the most, when it becomes completely free from even the most subtle obscurities or most subtle impurities, so then at that time the beings are called the Buddha. So thus it is, it has three levels. Yes.
Tena kova da nyangin lende pe chebar yang marik pe wangi tene marik pe wangi trupe drip de senji nelo deki nyebo senji nelo wo esar jitong mato bakap song kova ki jebare tene senji nelo
So, and then on the in other words, also we talk about the what is called the samsara, the cyclic existence, and the nirvana, the ultimate peace, perfect peace, is also actually is divided or categorized from this point of view. That means when our mind is not free from our true nature of the mind, it is still obscured by the impurities, and that level we are called the beings who wander in the cyclic existence or the samsara itself. And then when our mind becomes completely free from all the impurities without any exception, then at that level one is, then that state, which is being free from all the impurities, is called nirvana.
You think the need is not to be sent in the middle of a decision in the front of a taxi to the country.
For that reason, it's very important to make an effort to attain the realization of the true nature of the mind directly, yes.
Tejendo, Tene, no mumba da yiki is our young, Tene, sentinel of the healing of Topa and Madoka.
So then, likewise, what we call the
Madoka, the Topa,
what we call the negative emotions and also the wisdom is also presented from the point of view of whether one is free from these impurities or not. When our mind is completely free from the impurities, and that mind is called the wisdom, and the transcendental wisdom or the sublime wisdom, whatever you call it, and when the mind is not free from the all impurities yet, then it is that state is called the emotional mind or the impure mind. Because if we don't recognize the nature of the all the negative emotions in general by ourselves. So then that not knowing is called the illusion or the confusion or ignorance.
And then nyomomba ranga ngobu nyomong ke rango keba ina nyomong tene nyomong ngobu yike.
So if you know the very fundamental nature of the all the negative emotions, so then at that moment the nature of the negative emotion transforms or become as wisdom.
Penna malang tam kap samalang ho ma ki na thoba re mo chi na mo chi pe ki pate mo chi pe sente ni kira.
For example, when
Tendo.
We dream, yes, as long as we don't recognize that we are dreaming, at that time the mind is a confused mind. Everything that appears to us is a confusing, is confusion or illusion. And as soon as we recognize that we are dreaming, then that mind is no more in confusion, yes. And that state is called the awakened state of the mind. For example, when we are overpowered by a great anger or aversion, yes. So as long as we don't recognize the nature of the anger, yes, so then it is emotion, is negative emotion. And if we know, if we understand the nature of the anger, which is clarity and emptiness as inseparable, so then it is the nature of the mind is wisdom.
Okay.
Likewise, all the other negative emotions such as desire and jealousy and so on, everything, all the negative emotions, if you don't recognize their nature, so then they are afflicting emotions, they give us suffering. If we know their nature, if we understand their nature, so then they are all wisdom.
Namdo dawji na namdo de ngo ma xin na namdo chu ba le namdo ge ne lo de ngo xi ba yin na namdo ge ne lo de ne chu ba le ye xi.
So likewise, all the thought and all the concept without an exception, if we don't recognize their nature and if we don't realize their nature, so then there are thought, there are concept, and there are confusion, yes. But if he knows their nature, if he realizes their nature, so then all the thoughts and all the concepts, without an exception, are Dhammakaya by nature.
Taking the Tata Jina to Zuda Teru Rizala Sopanaman De, then no machi na, then but to pare, no shiva yina na dong yina.
So likewise, all the phenomena that manifest to us, such as the all the desirable objects, such as the form, the sound, and the taste, and so on. Everything, if we know, if we understand their nature, if we don't understand their nature, yes, if we don't realize their nature, so then, if we don't recognize their nature, then they are true existent. They are seemingly true existent. They look like true existent, truly existent. And if we recognize them, if we realize them, their nature, so then they are all emptiness and appearance as inseparable. For example, the flower in front of you is also, if you don't recognize its nature, if you don't realize its nature,
So then it is true existence. Yes. It looks like a true existence. Yes. If you understand its nature, if you realize its nature, so then it is appearance and an appearance and emptiness as inseparable, which means it is emptiness yet it is appearance. It is appearance yet emptiness. If you understand that this flower is an inseparability of emptiness and appearances, so then we can realize, we can understand all the phenomena in the same way. For example, like the flower in the dream. For example, if we see a very beautiful flower in a dream such as this flower, if you recognize it, if you don't recognize it, it is then a true existent flower, a flower which looks like true existence. If you recognize, then it is the inseparability of the emptiness and appearance. And likewise, this our body, yes, which is made up of four elements, if you don't recognize its nature, then it is solid or true existence. If you recognize its nature, then this is also an appearance yet emptiness, an emptiness yet appearance. Similarly, all the big noise that we hear in our everyday life, big noise of the city like New York, the all the different noises, you know, you hear continuously. Also, if you understand it, then its nature, then it is a sound and emptiness as inseparable. If you don't recognize, then there are big a true existing sound, a sound which is true existence. So people who live in such a big city like New York, they would say that it's also it's very important to understand and realize that the sound that we hear continuously is emptiness and a sound. Something you hear but is emptiness. This emptiness but you hear as a sound. So in order to understand the sound is inseparability of sound or sound and in order to understand that you hear something that you hear or listen to as the inseparability of sound and emptiness, first we have to think or we have to reflect upon on the sound in a very subtle level, yes. Please listen to the finger sound of the finger snap, he says. So when you hear this sound of finger snap, you would say that, can you tell him that which one comes in existence first, the sound or the consciousness which focus on the sound, or which perceived, which apprehend the sound, the apprehension of the sound, the sense, the consciousness of the sensory organ, which comes first, or the sound comes first? What do you think?
Are we supposed to answer?
Yeah.
I think the same time.
To Tunyam by his eyes.
Tunyam, what is it?
That's it.
Tunyam by him, the same as that, that is the environment of the time. Carlson, now Nam he down, now Nam he the draft.
For that reason, the sound is empty of its nature. Because if the sound comes first, and the consciousness of the sense faculty comes later, when if sound comes first, that means the kalti dhamma na chhoyi na.
Dhamma na chhoyi na. Dhamma na chhoyi na.
Na shiyama is.
Dhamma na chhoyi na. Dhamma na chhoyi na.
If the sound comes first, if the sound comes into existence first, so then where is the consciousness of the sensory organ of the ear? Which apprehend the sound, where it is. And if the consciousness comes first, and where is the sound? But the consciousness must have something to focus on. So therefore, they're related on each other. They're both dependent on each other. Anything that is dependent on each other means they are not self-sufficient, they are not independent, which means they are empty by them.
Then you control the talk and the city, but it's not control the Malam the God that is the man he gave in the water.
So then, if one wonders, then how, when you hear a sound, when you listen to a sound, how it happens then? So he said that it happens exactly in the same way that we hear or listen to a sound in a dream.
When Malam the God, then the God that is by him.
In fact, in dream, when we listen or when we hear to a sound, which is the object of the ear consciousness, actually it is our own mind which manifests as the object and the one who apprehends the object, it's our own mind which manifests as object and as subject as well. Means the listener or the one who hears and that which is listened to or that which is heard. Actually, it's the mind itself. There's no other two things other than the mind itself. So therefore, and we should say that both the sound and that which apprehend the sound or listen to the sound are both a luminous quality of the mind itself, the true nature of the mind, which is called the Tathagata Gaba or the Buddha nature. So if this way, if we examine very minutely on the sound, and if we, then we will come to understand the sound is inseparability of the sound and emptiness, and the mind or the consciousness which apprehends the sound is also inseparability of the emptiness and awareness.
Then the drought of the yin me, the hippos of the yin me, but he said, no, then when
So if he has understand and realize that something that we hear or listen to is the inseparability of sound and emptiness, and the consciousness which apprehends the sound is inseparability of this, of an awareness and emptiness. So then, at that moment, at that time, then we will never experience any suffering caused by a sound, caused by a noise or sound.
Tena tambo segor je da tan dani je da tao deso la tene.
So therefore first one should develop the understanding and then gradually also realization by meditating upon it that the a shortest sound like the finger snap is the sound and the emptiness as inseparable and the consciousness which apprehends the sound, which perceive the sound, is also inseparability of the emptiness and awareness. So then, gradually we expand this understanding and realization to all the other bigger sounds, which sometimes make us deaf also, very disturbing, you know.
Tanda tongche chenpo le tena sardu sikwa mara chetan namba lo la dra le tena cho chenpo yue sa tendu lo lo na gongya yue namba gong rang le ma to yang sardu tena wu zo ho yue ma.
And the meditation on the sound as a sound as emptiness as inseparable is also, Rinpoche said, it's not something they newly invented actually. It already exists since Buddha taught the emptiness. So therefore, we have a different method to develop our meditations. For example, on the sound, in that case, sometimes people, the practitioner goes to the by a river, which is very noisy, or waterfall, and then they do meditation on it.
Then it is a sound, and then it's a dull thing, but going on it, don't get the dark thing, but so you have gone before you.
So, thus, if you develop the meditations, taking the sound as our object of meditation, if you develop it, then we can do this meditation by living in a big city also. So likewise, the form is also the form that which you perceive as a color or as a shape, yes. It's also in appearances, the appearance and emptiness as inseparable. And the consciousness of the eyes, which perceive or which apprehend the form or the shape, is also inseparability of emptiness and awareness.
Tena zog nandong yeme da zog zeba nando te satong yeme di kena tena zog kate nona yang cheba yama.
So if we develop this understanding and realization, so then we just say that no matter how much
tona zog kate nona yang chong yama. Te chong meba maze tor.
No matter, yes, how many kind of forms or pleasant or unpleasant appears to us, we will never be affected by that. Rather, they can be used as a helpful means, yes, to develop our meditation.
When now, Shina temple of Mei Chepa Kapso, Mei Chung Chung Yin, not any longer say, but Mei Chembo Bana, long Kaseji Yona, long to support Yona, then.
For example, when a forest catch a fire, when the fire is very small, at that time the fire can be extinguished by a wind. However, when the fire becomes very big, so then the stronger the wind is, the better is for the fire. That means the fire becomes stronger and stronger. In the same way, if we understand and realize the nature of all the phenomena that manifest to us, they can become a means of meditation. So thus, if we develop this understanding and meditation, then we say that since the appearances are the emptiness and appearances as inseparable, and the consciousness who perceive that or apprehend these appearances are also as is also emptiness and awareness as inseparable. So, because of the appearances of external phenomena, our meditation develops more and more, and the mind gets more and more clearer and clearer. Yes.
Lord, don't let pain last. Same journey, look, the satong journey, right? Ina ya lowan tripa kema ide biyere. Then same journey, look, don't let lowan tripa kema thamse. How to say? Then no.
So in brief, Rinpoche says that to the true nature of the mind is the Buddhahood, which is obscured by all the defilements or different impurities. So when all these impurities are removed or eliminated by the practice of the Dharma, and then the nature of the mind manifests directly, yes, without any obscuration, when this takes place, then it is called the realization of the Buddhahood or enlightenment. For that reason, it is very important to practice meditation and by examining the nature of one's own mind. So thus, if we analyze or examine the nature of our mind and then experience it by meditation, so then not only we can be free from, we can get rid of all the sufferings, all the unpleasant things that we experience in our everyday life, but also we can get rid of the suffering and the fear of the death. So Rinpoche said that in general, the explanation of the Shantong Madhyamika's view or the Madhyamika of empty of the other, yes, is very extensive. However, he explained it by applying with the view, yes, in brief, which is very important for our meditation. Philosophically, yes, it can be explained very in great extent, yes. However, he applied in brief from the view point of view, yes, for the purpose of our meditation. So if you have a question, please ask me. The shortest sound, the smallest
simple sound.
Yeah.
So would you suggest going to the river, the waterfall at first, starting with a very simple sound? Would you suggest
to go at?
Start with a sound like this rather than going to a river where there's lots of different sounds.
Uh-huh.
Tenmu sing kalau di Venezuela, then kami jadi tamu dah sinu cha, sinu nyuruh. Then sebab tu kita tahu, jauh sana ves.
Oh,
ada. Si main mata tamu yang cuci dah nanti, tamu dah lakukan nanti. Cuci. Cuma
tak ada, dah dia macam dah ni juga. Ini pun dah
Yeah, we must say because why we should start with this one, shortest sound, you know, because it's more easy to understand how the sound is inherently true existence. Yeah? So it's more easy to know it.
Jopun jopun yang di sini, pada tak pergi yang berada di sini. Jauh nanti itu terpakai.
The sound of the rivers and so on, we often apprehend or we perceive them as something very continuous, you know. So therefore, it's more difficult to understand, to know that they are inherently not true existence. More difficult to understand. Because we always mistaken the.
Trujillo, you are my patani, patas, don't buy the tongue,
As far as the sound of the finger snap is concerned, even we do make this sound of finger snap one after the other, even into thousand, you know. However, still, you cannot be mistaken the first one as the second one as a third, you know. Mm-hmm. You cannot be mistaken with this as one, you know, this continuity as a one, mm-hmm. as one sound, you know. You cannot mistake it. Because there is a gap in each, between them. Between two sounds, there is a gap.
Then if Pete Malam de Dratan, Brenda de Nimida, Jenkin Tonson of Tanfone.
So, the thing that we have to realize that the sound is impermanent and not true existence is the sound in our everyday life that we hear or listen to. But the supporting example, to understand easier way, is the sound in the dream. You should take the sound that you listen or hear in the dream as an example.
Tene dra dra ta tong ko pe dra ni je dra ta. Tene kala so ko. Tene de de so ya de.
Piano.
Oh, te se dra te so je tin tin de so tang je so ma tang. Jun Tujuh meja jen, jauh jauh jen cendol ya roh. Tesu tamce, tene data tung tu gombala, tambo tesu tene tole lah.
Perhaps you would say the sound of the music, such as the guitar or piano, it may be very useful, very helpful to develop, understand, and realize that how sound is impermanent and relative level. In more deeper level, how they are not true existence, how they are illusory existence, more easy to understand by this, because you know scientifically or obviously that they are heard, or these sounds are heard or listened to because of many causes and conditions coming together, the sound is produced. So anything that is produced by causes and conditions has no its own
entity.
The sound of a telephone call is also nice.
Karasana ko jichin tende mambo so gugure mai kuno nando da la pe le ka da tene yang thare mo ni yong da tene pe ya puto ba.
Even for you, and it even also in the sense very easy to understand how a sound like telephone sound when it rings, and depends on so many cold and the conditions. You know. For example, you need electricity, and you need the machine, the telephone itself. You need the effort of the human being. You have to dial the number, and so on, and the wire, and so on. Many things you need. It. Then the sound is about the telephone.
There, the thing that I have to go through, the little sound of the phone,
so if we understand this, so then it will be quite easy to understand what sound and emptiness and air inseparable mean.
Then it turned out with any corner, telephone, then corner, then that and then there. And then that joint, then but joint, conscious, the data.
If you understand and realize through the sound of the, if you understand or realize the emptiness and the sound as inseparable through the things like telephone, so then the same rule or same method you can apply to all the other sounds, such as the sound of the traffic, aeroplane, and so on.
Really?
It's easy to understand that when you're talking about sound, the nature of phenomenon being empty yet
apparent.
But when you're taking things like the human body, or let's say a car, or something like that, yes, they are a composite of many different different things. Does the emptiness refer to the fact that they are not permanent? Or is the inherent nature of the materials coming together that are empty? You know what? Is it because of that all phenomenon is ever changing?
Yeah.
Is it because of that they are considered emptying? Is the appearance a momentary appearance, and it's not a solid, you know, the appearance of ourselves, and we appear as you and I, there's a car and stuff like that, but if you examine it on a physical level, they're made up of atoms that are constantly moving and changing. Is that why?
You mean from the point of view, depending on each other, causing the condition, it's called the emptiness, or being impermanent, or
I mean, is it one and the same? Is it, do you look at and say, you know, phenomenon, mind, reality as we see it, is empty because of its impermanence, because it's ever changing, because it's the illusory nature of, you know, we look at it as something solid, something permanent.
Right.
But in reality, it's not. In reality, it's just a composite of many different things that are constantly in motion and coming into and out of existence. Is that?
Mita wei misane chupan je tongba ni sungwa ra ne. Yang chikla chikte misane tongba ni sungwa ra ne.
Tui ni ka hai. Mata pa yin misane yang tongba ni re. Tane jochen tenre tsoko chane yang tongba ni. Kare sana jochen tenre tsoko yin na mata pa chape re. Mata pa yin misane travel mata pa chane da.
From the point of view of both being permanent, being impermanent, and being depending on each other, or cause and condition. From both points of view, it is emptiness. Because it is emptiness, anything that depends, you know, on the cause and the condition is also emptiness, because they have not their own identity. And Yurvichani, Yurvichani, then from the point of view of changing, you know, transit, you know, transitory, momentary, from that point of view, it is emptiness. Emptiness and appearance. From that point of view, it's inseparability of emptiness and appearance, by being.
So it's the impermanent nature of the phenomenon that makes it empty.
Tandarita, one of mitak by mitane, tini tong by nire, what's the chitam? Yeah, from that point of view also it is emptiness. Because the very subtle, the impermanence is very subtle level, comes to the same point. Emptiness. All the phenomena are emptiness from various points of view. First is by depending, you know, because of the cause and the condition coming together, a phenomena comes in existence, what we call existence. From that point of view also, it is emptiness. And then it is transitory, changes. From that point of view also it is emptiness. And from the point of view of conceptualization, also it is emptiness. Because we conceptualize them, we label them, that
we
this is like...
We conceptualize, you know, a composite of many different organs, right, and blood vessels.
Yeah,
as
a human
being,
as a car, and so on. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So from the Rangtong point of view, they are absolutely empty. All the phenomena are empty of their nature. That is their emptiness. However, from Shentong point of view, from the Shentong Madhmika's point of view, everything is it. How you say, inseparability of appearance and emptiness. That means it appears yet emptiness. It is empty yet appears.
Could you substitute instead of emptiness, impermanence?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm hearing? Can you say something is appearance yet impermanent,
mm-hmm,
instead of saying
there's appearance and emptiness.
In other words, what Rinpoche is saying,
mm-hmm,
our phenomenon on one level,
mm-hmm,
is...
No, you repeat the same what you said. Yeah.
Can you substitute, instead of saying all phenomenon is appearance yet empty, can you say all phenomenon has appearance yet impermanent?
Instead of substituting... From the impermanent point of view, you could say that. When you think of from impermanence point of view, or that all phenomena impermanent,
you can use that one from that point of view.
When you say But there is difference between these two. When you call impermanent and apparent as inseparable, and emptiness as inseparable, appearance as inseparable. Because the understanding and realization of the emptiness and appearances as inseparable eliminate both the, the idea of permanent and impermanent. You know, but the realization and understanding and realization of the
impermanent and apparent as inseparable, eliminate only the idea of something being permanent. You know. For example, when you do a lot of meditation on impermanence, sometimes you feel really sad and depressed. So that means really you are grasping too much to the impermanent, all phenomena being impermanent. You are grasping too much. So you become sad and then you're disappointed and depressed. Yeah. That means we cling too much to the impermanent, again as something.
Yes, isn't it? Mata payan, then paramadupa. Mata payan, somebody is a tone, then mata became a little.
So impermanence also is emptiness. Itself is emptiness. If you realize it, so then the suffering or that we experience through all the phenomena being as impermanent is also can be eliminated.
Then the Nam Dogu again came back to the Dodi, then the Sentinel, Satan Yen,
which means that it was said that we have to actually eliminate slowly and gradually all kind of concept, you know. The concept of being something, being permanent, being impermanent, being emptiness, even not being emptiness. So when all kind of concepts are eliminated, pacified, then our mind rests in the in its original state, which is very peace, actually, peaceful, and primarily peaceful and very pure.
Oh, Tina. Yeah.
I wanted to ask him, could you clarify something that he's saying about negative emotions? Usually we conceive of negative emotions because they are negative and disturbing, as being opposed to wisdom, opposed to clarity of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Rinpoche is saying that it's a correct view to regard negative emotions as containing the seed of wisdom mm-hmm. in themselves, as being, in other words, inseparable mm-hmm. from wisdom and clarity.
Mm-hmm. As long as we don't understand, we don't realize it, the nature of the negative emotion, so then they are just the opposite of, they are, you say, opposed to the to what we call the wholesome emotion or wholesome thought or wholesome deed. Yeah. So if we understand the real nature of the negative emotions, so then they are wisdom, actually. They are wisdom. They are no more negative.
Then now, Mala de Kapsu Kondo Chenpo Shichina, Mala Ngoma Kipa Kapsu Kondo Te Doktore, Gave Doktore, Mala Ngoma Kina Doktore Mare,
Mm-hmm. For example, when a great anger arises with the dream, so when we don't recognize that we are dreaming, so then this anger is something negative. Then if we know that it is a dream, so then it is not something to give up, but something to use even more to understand the nature of the dream and realize the nature of the dream.
Mm. 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 Mm
So therefore we have to, we can understand if reflect upon the dream, the anger that arises in the dream, how it looks like before we recognize that it's a dream, and then how it looks like after we recognize the dream. Therefore, in Shantong language, sometimes we say that the self or spirit, the self liberation of negative emotion, or spontaneous liberation of negative emotion, this term or this term also, yes, it refers to actually that state, you know, that very state of recognizing the negative emotion itself.
Since
negative emotions are self, how say, self-bound or self-fettered, so if you know their nature, and they are self-liberation, self-liberation. So which means that so the negative emotions are how to say, bondage by themselves, and also liberation by themselves, self-liberated by themselves.
Yeah.
A person who becomes a bodhisattva.
Who becomes a bodhisattva, yes.
Still get angry, but only can see through that emotion, and it's not a negative emotion, but it's
常住生嘛，本来刚才常住生嘛，有什么？嗯，你告诉我，常住生嘛，那些当，本来你们不是常住生嘛，就那样。嗯。对，因为学堂是大树的，那里是大树，绿树的，那里叫什么？爬坏是多少钱的？爬坏。爬坏。爬坏是那，大树嘛。嗯，三爬坏是多少？大树嘛。Yes. That's the way the bodhisattva on who achieved the Bhumis, who attained the Bhumis already, you know, levels. That means starting from the first level of the Bodhisattva. You know, you have 10 levels here. Yeah? So the Bodhisattva, from the first level onward, deals with emotion in that way. So, however, the bodhisattva as a beginner, that means the bodhisattva on the path of accumulation and the path of junction. Particularly bodhisattva on the path of accumulation, although they have the understanding that negative emotions are not truly existent, but their nature is actually the wisdom or the wholesomeness, their fundamental nature. However, they don't have this, you know, they have understanding, but they don't have direct experience of it. The direct experience or realization of the nature of the emotion, they gain it only on the first level onward. So then, if the bodhisattva is on the path of junction, yes, what we call path of junction, yes, then his understanding of this is also very perfect, But then he has a little bit of experience as well. But his experience is not perfect yet. Huh? Mm-hmm. However, he has some experience about it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Bodhisattva, the noble Bodhisattva, which means the Bodhisattva on the first level onward, not only they have a perfect understanding, but they have direct experience and realization as well.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a person who is not used to how to use to this, who is acquainted with the dream, yes, he's the one who is not used to recognizing the dream, yes. Mm-hmm. To such person, he may gain understanding of that all the phenomena are emptiness and appearance as inseparable. He may understand, but he cannot realize it really. He cannot experience it because he doesn't have that experience before. That means he doesn't have experience of recognizing that dream, for example.
What?
Like that.
Seeing how everything is a rather sound, touch with, as a dream, yeah. Being
an
analogy to a dream.
Yeah.
Yet what I was wondering about was that the other sentient being, all beings,
mm-hmm.
that we come in contact with, mm-hmm. we accumulate karma,
mm-hmm.
and we die, and we are reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
So, there seems like there's something that is apart from the dream,
mm-hmm.
from that sort of dream state. In fact, when you are dreaming,
mm-hmm.
you recognize the dream, and you feel apart in a certain way. And so in some way there seems like, because of that accumulation of karma, and because of that reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
that continual this, there's something almost in impermanent, in a sense,
uh-huh.
that seems, are we indeed our minds or whatever part of that dream,
mm-hmm.
part of that dream,
mm-hmm. I don't know how that is. Mm-hmm. Then now, Nandu, in the Kingdom of the Sea, she, Luda, she read a lot, she should have been there. Now what is it? No. The Nilam Dawre, the Chashi Dawre, Nilam Ti Chashi Dawre.
Nilam Dawre. Nilam Dawre. Yeah.
They are like dreams. They are all like dreams. As Buddha said that, all the phenomena, without any exception, everything is like dreams. Like a dream, like magic. Like a magic show, like all illusory appearances. Buddha gave a lot of examples to illustrate how all the phenomena are inherently not existing.
carers and a shootan, the jitting tender, so on just on the name of the Shiva.
Tomorrow, some of the legs in the way, no?
Really?
Yeah. All the karma, the action karma that we have, we accumulate in everyday life. Because of that, we take a happy rebirth or a very miserable rebirth or unhappy rebirth. Everything is like dream. Or everything is dream. The one who accumulates karma, whether it's positive or negative, is also like dream. So since he is like dream, the karma that accumulated by him is also like dream. So then the result that we experience, that we in everyday life, is also everything is the result of our karma that we experience, is also like a dream. So in this dream we accumulate another karma. By experiencing this result of the karma, on again we accumulate another karma. You know, continuously.
But the fact that it doesn't end at an end of life.
Exactly, yeah.
On.
And that is that. Parma Shivarva, Dhamma Shivarva. Yeah, it's like continuous dream, unending dream. And if we cling to it, yes, conceptually, yes, if we, as a true existence, so then this dream even gets more and more solid, more like a true. So if you don't have this concept of these things as a true existence, so then at that time we can experience the appearances and emptiness as inseparable.
Then I choose some day, Yoma Malam Tavishina Tela, Jitok Yoma Tavishin, and they want the Chibar, Jitok Yoma.
So if we understand and realize, experience, yes, that all the phenomena are like dream or like magical illusion, so then this way of dealing with the phenomena, yes, you know, or understanding, is called the post-meditation, you know. You have meditation state and the post-meditation. But the post-meditation also become like, is also meditation, yeah. What is termed as a magical-like meditation, you see? Magic-like meditation, yeah. That means, yeah.
Tonshir Kembu Nevi Yoga, Zub Na Toba, the Gran Na Toba, this is the only thing, Jumantava, Malantava, Sam, Yami, and the Sama, and they say, you took the bomb there, you took Jumantava.
For example, when we are in the waking state of life, we are roaming about in the big city of New York. If we understand and experience everything that we perceive, or we hear, or we experience, like a dream or like magic show or like, you know, like a magical show. So then Rinpoche says that is a meditation already, a kind of meditation, what we call the post-meditation. Normally we have meditation and post-meditation. This is called the meditative state of post-meditation. So this aspect of the meditation is very important in our everyday life. Oh? Particularly those who live in such big city, which is full of distraction.
So Rinpoche said that it's very important to understand and then experience that this one's own life and everything concerned this life is like a magic show or like a dream, a very illusory. So it is therefore it is very important to practice Dhamma, to deepen this understanding and realization. And so then also one should practice Dhamma without, whenever one is free, whenever one get time, is without wasting the time, because the time is also very short. Life, that the life is very short. The time is in you know, wait for us. So we should. So through the practice of the Dhamma, once we have, we understand and realize or experience that all the appearances are emptiness and appearances as inseparable, and one's own mind and consciousness, all the other consciousness also as a, as inseparability of the awareness and emptiness. So then, at that time, then it is very easy to realize. So therefore, Rinpoche said that he will be always thinking of you and doing prayer for you, so that you understand and realize this inseparability of emptiness and appearance, and emptiness and awareness as inseparable.